listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Such a waste of pretty face, but hanging in your no one's face. I wish that you would take a look and really stop that. Top that. Stop that. I don't really give a about trying to top that. Top that. Stop that. I wish you finally take a real look and really stop that.
What's this? Stop that. What gives? Stop that. I don't really give about trying to top that. Top that. Big deal. Top that. Unreal. You can try until you're blue. I will make a fool of you. Top that.
Word.
Hey.
She tried to watch beforehand on YouTube.
Oh, but I just wanted to see the source material.
You know, there's never a bad time to watch Teen Witch, to be honest with you. We are live on a Sunday, the Blackout Tips, obviously with your host Rod and
Karen.
And, if you're not familiar with the voices that you just heard, it's their first time on our show, but, we listen to them all the time, so we're very familiar with their voices. It's Mike and Elizabeth from We Just Saw a Movie podcast. What's going on, guys?
Nothing much, and thanks so much, guys, for having us on. We're really, you know, honored and privileged to be here, but really excited, and yeah, can't wait.
I guess even before we even start the show, today is our 16th anniversary.
I know,
right? So,
congratulations!
Thank you. And this is a great anniversary present. Okay,
it is,
because I save your episodes for me and Karen to listen to in the car together. So it's kind of like our thing is the throne. We just saw a movie and check out what you guys think about the movie, because we always go to we always go to the movies every Thursday,
mm-hmm.
and we review movies too. But so when you guys are going to movies, we're normally seeing the same movie that week and everything, so it's kind of like, oh, let's see what Mike and Elizabeth thought about the movie too. So yeah, we appreciate y'all coming on.
No, that's great. And yeah, one of the things we worry about with the podcast is, like, because we always go see whatever came out new, so we worry about putting it out too early, so we like to put it out the week after, which sometimes, like, I feel like with a movie review, you want to put it out before people can see it, but also we like, you know, giving people a chance to see it, and then also like spoiling it too, because we like to just talk about it, you know, and ruin it for everyone, because we're no fun like that. So yeah, it's good to hear that you guys like it, so we're really honored to hear that.
Yeah, man. Matter of fact, you took us out because we saw Mile 22.
Yes,
and your Mark Wahlberg impression was killing us in the car. I was like, oh my god, that was him the whole movie. And I don't even know what made them decide they could center a movie around, like, such an unlikable character.
Right, he was the worst.
But it was so dead on.
But what was weird to me about his character in this movie, it's almost like, and I think I said this on the podcast, but for those of your listeners who haven't listened, it's like he's realized that people are catching up to the fact that he seems like a real dum-dum, so he's doubling down on the condescension. And that one character he played in The Departed is like everybody now. Like he's just being that guy times like 1,000. It's like you're not getting smarter because you're pretending everyone else is dumber. I'm sorry.
It's also that thing where it feels like every role in that movie was written for a dude. And then at some point they were like, oh, we need diversity, you know, like Me Too and stuff. Like, we got to do better. So then they went and got Ronda Rousey and Lauren Cohen.
Right.
But then they gave Lauren Cohen, like, the exact storyline they give, like, every bitter-ass old man that's like, my ex-wife, this bitch, doesn't want me to see my kid, bro. Except they gave it to Lauren Cohen, and they're like, see, guys? It's like diversity and shit.
No, we don't want that type of diversity.
In this one, they just made the white guy the white bitch this time.
Right.
He was probably a good dad, actually. We don't know. We just know that he was trying to, you know, take care of his kid.
Right.
Right. He was probably doing all the right things at home, cooking and cleaning, right. Like.
Yeah.
It's taking, like, the lunches. He's putting it on the bus. I mean, you're over there in, you know, Endicott City or whatever the hell that fake city was called.
He's like, I've been killing people. I don't have time to see our daughter, but it doesn't make me a bad wife, okay?
That is the exact definition of a bad parent, though. You gotta be there. Crazy.
I can't
also,
be there.
I don't get, the one thing with Ronda Rousey I didn't get was, like, every character she has now, I think they've figured out her, like, range. And I'm not trying to be mean to her.
Right.
But, you know, I think her range is kind of limited. And I think they've figured out that her character is just scowling woman who can fight. Like, what does she have to be angry about? Like, she was an MMA champion. She's been given the WWE title on a platter. You're in movies. Like, smile. Come on. It's not bad, Ronda. It's not that you got it pretty good.
Yeah, I want to see a movie where, like, Ronda Rousey gets to be, like, the love interest in a rom-com. That would be dope. Like, let's just change our paradigm, you know? Like, let's see what she's got some acting chops. Because I've never really seen her in anything for more than 20 minutes now. So it's like she has a limit and everybody knows it. They're like, all right, that's enough Ronda Rousey. Let's get her out of here off the set. But nah, absolutely. I love her.
I think you're onto something there. And I think we look at I'm just spitballing here, but two people that I think could use a transition acting wise is Ronda Rousey. And I think we see the last couple of movies were not a hit. I think The Rock and Ronda Rousey in a rom-com.
Yes.
Maybe that's, you know, an action rom-com. I'm just, you know, Hollywood, if you're listening, you know, you guys can have that. Ken Bono, that's cool. But yeah, I think that'd be great.
I would go see that.
They can meet at the gym while they're working out, lifting weights, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Pretty much writes itself, you know. Mm-hmm. Things start blowing up.
Yeah, a bunch of working out, sweating, exercising. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody would mind. Would probably stare at them like, who are these two big motherfuckers in here for no goddamn reason? Right.
I kind of miss, I feel like Ronda Rousey kind of took my girl Gina Carano's spot, because she was supposed to be, like, the MMA crossover actress star. And she starred in one of my favorite movies, Haywire, which I really think was an underrated movie. But then it's like she just stopped getting work because Ronda Rousey came around, and I was like, this is just like MMA. Like, you left there to get away, to get some opportunities, and then here she comes, not even as good as you, and took everything again. Poor Gina Carano.
That too. You know, I'll take that opportunity while I'm at it.
Yeah.
I've never seen Haywire. I love Soderbergh, so I've always wanted to check that out.
It's so good, man. It's like a, what do you call it? Like, almost like a genre movie where it's not just that it's action, but it's, I mean, the action is really well done.
Mm-hmm.
Because Soderbergh, being the weirdo that he is, like, lets Gina Carano really, like, fight these fucking actors.
Really
and shit.
Fight them, yes.
And it's like all these, like, either wide shots or these super long takes of her just beating people's ass for real. That was one of the benefits, because, you know, she's not necessarily the greatest actress, and she has kind of like this thing with her voice. She kind of talks like this or whatever, so they kind of like digitally mess with her voice to lower it a couple octaves.
Right.
But it's so good, and then it's also like a 70s flavor to it, like with the music and the style of dress and stuff. Like, it's a really weird movie, but I really fucking like that movie, man. I feel like not enough people got to see it, so I hope you do check it out. It's really fun. Speaking of checking out things, you guys got to see this and I forgot, so we didn't go see it. Fathom Events needs like better promotion. But
yes, they do.
You guys got to go see Cowboy Bebop in the theater.
I was hurt because I heard about it afterwards and I was like, oh no, how did I miss this? Because we watched like the Dragon Ball Z ones, like we love it. They have one for Hero Academia coming out like next month. I was like, get the tickets, I'm not missing that one.
I have got a question for you guys. If you had a choice, if you had caught the ad that I guess was really, you, I don't know how you caught it, but
I don't even remember.
Yeah, would you have chosen subbed or dubbed to go see?
Oh, I love subtitle. Like, I'm so not a snob. Mm-mm. I'm so basic when it comes to my anime.
And I'm not learning another language. I'm sorry, y'all.
Well, I mean, it's not learning the other language. You just have to read. I don't mind dubbed if I have no, I mean, I don't mind subbed if I have no choice, but I mean, I think I said it backwards. I want dubbed. I want to see the version where I'm not reading the screen.
Right.
Because sometimes when I'm reading, the screen for anime, and it's only with anime, it's not with foreign movies or anything, I start to get sleepy, like I'm reading a comic book or a book, and I start dozing off, and I hate, you know, I want to pay attention, but I can't help it. And then, also with certain, levels of anime, right? So like, with their more expensive stuff, like a Cowboy Bebop, they will do a good job with the,
yes,
with the dub. Like, they won't just half-ass it and have, like, the mouse not matching up or, you know, like...
It's not translating right.
Right, they'll take that extra beat and be like, okay, let's, like, how would they say this in, like, American English as, like, a colloquialism? They wouldn't just say, like, the exact translation, so maybe... Jet would be like, why don't you buzz off, as opposed to them being like, you know, the original translation is go fly a helicopter or something. They'd be like, well, they wouldn't say go fly a helicopter. So I, you know, for say again, Elizabeth, I'm sorry, you got cut off a little bit.
But yeah, that's I don't know, I think
It was your first anime you've ever seen.
That's true, it was.
Wow. Your very first one? Yeah.
What'd you think of? What'd you think about it?
I liked it. I thought it was a nice, like, simple story. And I said this on the podcast too, like, simple, not in a bad way.
Right.
It was just like a detective noir type story. And I liked it. I thought it was cool. It had, you know, good action, but like the mystery beats were cool too. So I enjoyed it. I just kind of went in with, I'm not like anti-anime. I just, right, it had never really been my thing, and I'd seen like bits here and there, but like I'd never watched a whole movie or a whole episode of a show. So for me, it was kind of a cool experience. It was kind of her thing, and to be able to see that for the first time with her was kind of cool. So I went into it with an open mind, and I was not surprised, but just, you know, entertained.
Wow, that's interesting. Cause I guess me and Roger, we love anime. And so we've watched like the whole series of Cowboy Bebop. We got it here at the house. We watch, like, the music is like the best thing ever. I used to take the music, just put it as my ringtone, like the intro. I love the music. Yes, it's like everything to me. And the thing is, watching the series like episode by episode, it builds upon each other. And I think here in America, we look at quote-unquote cartoons, we think of Scooby-Doo, Tom and Jerry,
He-Man,
Yajo. Like, we don't think of cartoon as adult cartoons, because if you really think of anime, like, they have whole genres, like, we watch soap operas, they have anime, like, soap operas, murder mysteries, you name it, it has hentai, like, if you want sex in your anime, like, you name it, they got it, pornography, so they don't treat quote-unquote cartoons like we do here in America.
Yeah, like, adult cartoon in America means that it's, like, raunchy, like, cursing or funny or something. But over there, it could just be, like, this is about an actress who killed herself, and we're going to make an hour-and-a-half movie out of this shit. The thing I like about anime, though, versus a lot of American entertainment, is that a lot of times the storyline is finite.
Right.
So they'll be, like, we're going to tell a half-hour story for 28 episodes, and then we're never, ever going to fucking talk about this again.
That's it.
Like, there's no season two. There's no, like, but I kind of like that. I wish more American entertainment had that type of, you know, that type of approach, because sometimes the way we approach things for profit motive, we end up, like, stretching shit out to the point where you're like, really? Do we need 4 seasons of True Blood? Was it still... like, aren't y'all making this up now? Did this happen in the book? What is this now? And I kind of wish more American entertainment had that.
Right. And one thing I realized, because me and Roger watch so much anime, because they do a beginning, the middle, to the end, some of our favorite animes are by the same group of people. Right. Like, they're like, oh, we finished Cowboy Bebop, let's do Samurai 7. We finished Samurai 7. Like, the creative people are able to constantly be creative and give you new things.
Right.
And that's really what I love it. Now, they have their stuff today, Moneymaker too. Don't get me wrong. Right. Like,
Inuyasha.
Yeah, Naruto. What was it? One Piece. One Piece got like 1,000 episodes. Right, I don't know how long that bitch is.
Right.
You know, but it's rare for them to have anime that goes that long.
All right, guys.
Yeah, and I...
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, Karen, what you were saying was interesting, because it's almost like in I guess, American cinema or whatever, or entertainment, you look at it as like you have franchises with the characters or the property. But I think it's interesting to look at almost, not that the creators look at it this way, but a franchise in terms of like what, like we were talking about Soderbergh before, I like looking at his stuff as like almost a series in and of itself, even though it's not,
right,
you know, they're not necessarily linked, but I like looking at that way. So I think that's an interesting point.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, it's like,
oh, go ahead, Elizabeth.
Having a portfolio.
Yeah.
It's just like an portfolio. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. It is like having a portfolio. It is like being able to say like, oh yeah, this was my such and such mood. This was this era of their style, you know. And then also they get to bring their developments to like a new fresh project, and you see them get better, because like the same people that made Cowboy Bebop made Samurai Champloo,
mm-hmm.
which is like
one I love.
That was like a blend of like hip hop and mm-hmm. Anime and Japanese influence. And then like, you know, considering that, you know, they came from jazz and Japanese influence and like futuristic stuff, like it was just cool to see them use other tools. And a lot of times when, you know, with American stuff, you just end up stretching yourself thin, where it's like, I can direct one movie, but then I'm going to produce 7 movies, and then I'm going to fucking write this movie. And it's like, I don't know, man, what if you could just like continue like making little your babies, like continue making like another pet project over and over. You know, anyway, speaking of movies, guys, let's talk about some movies this year. What's y'all's favorite movie that came out 2018? I'll go with you first, Elizabeth, and then Mike.
Okay. Oh man, I don't know. Hold on, I just need 1 second. What do you have one ready?
I'm trying to think of something that's come. Well, I mean, I will say that I'm going to cheat a little bit. The first thing I'll say, because we just saw it, and I wanted to talk about it, was we saw The Dark Knight in IMAX, which I know that was released 10 years ago, but they did a 10-year re-release. And we saw it in the Lincoln Center IMAX theater in New York, which is one of the biggest in the country, I think. And I gotta say, it was like probably the best movie going experience I've ever had. And I know, like I said, I know I'm cheating, and it wasn't it didn't come out this year, but it was just unbelievable. So that's like the first thing that stood out to me as far as a movie going experience. As far as the movies itself, man, I don't know. I don't know what my favorite is.
We saw Phantom Thread this year, which was one of my favorites. But I think that technically, I don't know, that's 2018. Mm. Black Panther was this year, right?
Yeah.
It feels like forever ago.
I know.
It does.
I think one of the things about Black Panther that they ran into was just having Infinity War like a few months after it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that kind of sucked up, because he was even in that. And that kind of sucked up some of the like historic whatever that. And it kind of didn't get its due, but that's definitely up there. Phantom Thread, I would say, I think it came out late last year, but we saw it early this year.
Mm-hmm.
And man, that was just another one that was like really just well done.
Yeah, just one of those movies that's like a movie. Like, this is why you make movies, to make a movie. I don't know, that sounds stupid, but it was very...
I think what you're trying to say is like to have the experience be like cinematic. It's not necessarily
cinematic.
Made to be like enjoyed at home.
Exactly.
Like on a DVD or Blu-ray or whatever. But yeah, that kind of thing was... That we really enjoyed. Yeah. I think we saw it in 70mm also.
Yeah.
I say 70mm like I know the different films. They just told me that. They just like say that, like, oh, this is in 70mm. I say, great. And then after that, I'm like, 70mm. And my fart smells delicious. It's great.
I'm the same way with TV definition, when people are like, oh yeah, right there. That's a 1080p picture right there. I'm like, oh, word? Oh, wow. Yes. Oh, you can totally feel the 1080, all the extra P's coming off of it. But I can't tell, to be honest.
No, the only one I can tell, they have like a TV. I don't know if it's like a 4K or real life TV. We went to some restaurant and the dude was like talking. It was like a cooking channel, and I love like Food Network and shit. And that shit looked so real. I felt like it was like sizzling. I wanted to go up and reach and touch him, and I felt like I did. He would turn around and smack my hands and be like, bitch, don't touch me, because he looked like he was in the room. I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, that's like a type of TV. I don't even think
I don't know what kind of TV that was. I don't know if that was director's cut TV, but that shit looked real.
But it wasn't like a
right.
It wasn't like a definition, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-mm. Because I know the brand of TV, and it wasn't like, you know, 4K or 1080 or whatever. It was just like whatever the fuck they do to those type of TVs, it just looks different than regular TVs.
Like, they got the best setup. It's like when you do at Best Buy, you go into Best Buy, you be like, oh yeah, I want this TV. You get it at home, you be like, my what the fuck is wrong with my cable? It don't look like this.
I can't tell either is what I'm saying. So like, if they're like, even with, but with certain movies, as y'all said with Phantom Thread, it is meant to be seen in the movie theater. And all right. I felt that way about, Avatar. And I think, yes. I think Avatar got unfairly like critiqued and like post coming out of the theater. Like it made all the fucking money, which means everybody saw it, everybody loved it, and people were going back multiple times. And then like after it was out of the theater, everybody was like, bullshit. This movie is Fern Gully. Nobody, like, predictable plot, unobtainium. Bull, what is this shit? But then it was like, but remember when we were in the theater, guys, and we all like had our fucking minds blown for 2.5 hours and we walked out of there like, what the fuck? I can't believe a movie made me feel like that. And everybody's like, no, that was like 10 minutes ago. Fuck that movie. So but that's how that movie felt. It felt like in the theater, it was, they should re-release that too. Like that Dark Knight felt like that, you know? I love those movie type of experiences.
Go ahead.
Absolutely. And I thought about it, and I've had help from one of your faithful commenters here that kind of jogged my memory a little bit. Mm-hmm. So just thinking about some of the movies, there are two movies I think so far that are probably my two favorites. I'd say Black Panther and Infinity War are also up there, but that's like everybody likes those. So right. I think that's just one of those things everybody can agree on. But the two that stood out to me would be Sicario 2. I love that movie. I thought it was really great. Mm. I thought it took the original Sicario story and kind of extended it in a way that didn't feel forced. I love the characterization in there. And then also Black Klansman, which you didn't see. I saw it with a buddy of mine a couple weeks ago, and that was another one that was just – it was like, I did a podcast about it, by myself, which those episodes are never good as the one we do together, getting those brownie points. But
it is true,
the thing I loved about it. That's right. It is. But the way that movie blended like the history and the comedy like together and into one movie, I just thought was like a feat that we hadn't seen in a while. And I thought it was outstanding.
I feel like with Spike Lee, he's so like, militant and like hardcore, like these white people racist, like every movie
is fight the power.
And I don't feel like he changed. I feel like the world kind of changed and it right. made him more relevant, because it's like, well, now that Trump's in office, maybe Spike's got a point. Let's go see what he has to say. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, Nazis are still around. The KKK is bad. We have a racist president. You know what? Good point, Spike. Good point. My bad, man. So it was good to see him back. I don't, but Elizabeth probably wouldn't have liked it because it's based off of a real story. So,
can't do it anymore. This eternal argument we have, and it's just it frustrates.
Karen, what's your favorite movie of 2018 so far?
I don't know.
You knew I asked them to. So then
it had been running through my mind. And truthfully, I'm not gonna lie. My favorite movie of all year is Infinity Wars. And the biggest reason why is because we watched it several times. Mm-hmm. But the very first time we seen it and it ended, I literally turned at Roger like, bitch, what? It was like something overtook me, like, oh no, like we started off sad and we ended sad, like what are you doing to my emotions? Like I watch a lot of movies, but this was one where I got emotional, like, and the thing is, I am somebody who, like a lot of people, there are people that read all the comic books, I don't know all of that, I read bits and pieces. But I'm going by the comic book movie that they showed me. Like, the comic book movies is my mm-hmm. series of comic books. So I'm in that genre of people. So me following that series, I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, so it was one of the movies that, like, made me look at the screen and look at him and look around and sit there with everybody else with, like, 2 minutes of, like, silent shock as, like, everything. I mean, it literally, it was like somebody had died. Like, you sit there and everything was just quiet. And you could have heard a pin needle drop. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, what was even I don't want to say better, but when we went to go see it again, watching other people see it for the first time, mm-hmm. and we saw their reaction, I was like, okay, like this is, we was, I was like, okay, this is part of the reaction that everybody's giving there. So my, cause we always go see stuff on Thursday night. So we're like the first people to like see it. Like if you show it at 6 or 5, we're there, whatever your first showings is. So for me, yeah. I watch a lot of movies, but that emotion that overtook me, that nerdum type of feeling, you know, I'm glad it wasn't a comic because I probably would have just looked at it and was like, no, you know, like it was a lot. It was emotionally a lot. So that was one of my favorite movies of the year.
Yeah, I think the same thing about Infinity War. And the other thing is, as a comic book reader that knows the story and all that stuff, part of me felt like, would it be in Disney and PG-13 and kind of like kids are seeing this and shit. I kept thinking like, well, they'll kind of pull their punch on the end because who wants to fuck up these kids that bad? Like, I remember when I watched Transformers, the movie, the cartoon movie, when I was a kid and Optimus Prime died. I was fucked up, man. I was like, is this death? What is this shit? When is he coming back? Someone heal him. And he just never came back. That was it. Like, he died in like 30 minutes and it was just like, all right, guys, time to move on and fight the rest of the war. I was like, oh, this is a real war? Motherfuckers can die? Like, so that's kind of how Infinity War felt at the end to me. Not because I was like, oh, these people will never come back or whatever. I'm obviously an adult.
Right.
But I just thought that they like give some hope or something at the end. Like, don't worry, guys, after the credits, we figured a way to get them back or something. Mm-hmm. Like, they just were like, nah, fuck you. And then it ends with like, Thanos will return. And I was like, oh.
Right. And you know what?
It didn't even say if the Avengers will return.
No.
It says this motherfucker's coming back.
Right. And that's when I really got mad. I was like, oh, fuck you, Disney. Of course we know he's coming back, but you didn't have to make insult to injury. And I had to sit there and look at him smirk as he looked at the sun and it fades away. I was like, you have, and I thought after that, I was like, oh, that it's going to be another piece. Like, I don't know why. Mentally, I thought, well, maybe this is going to be a 5-hour movie. All right, let's go. You know, and I was like, come on.
Well, also, the other part of it is we watched all the Avengers movies.
Right.
And there's like, I don't know, 15, 16 of them, right?
We watch every single one.
Right, but the point, not just we, I mean the world, like everybody, right? They're undefeated. They're the fucking globetrotters of fighting things. Like, nobody's really ready for them to lose, even if you knew they were losing coming in, you're like, nah, but not, I mean, but then it'll be like a way that they kinda win in the loss and we'll know, like, wink, wink, we're gonna kick their ass. But I really did kinda feel like, yeah, so what the fuck do you do to fix this shit? You know what I mean? Like, you guys wrote yourself quite a conundrum here that is not easily resolved. What is this? You know, so I kind of feel like for movie going experience this year, that was probably my favorite movie going experience for something that came out in 2018. Cause I was just like, oh my God, that they did it. Like, I just can't believe they did it.
Right. And I think for me, I felt like when people read comic books and you're reading a series, and you have to literally wait from month to month to month to month. Like, you be like, okay, you eat it up real good. And you're like, shit, I got another 30 days before I can. That's how I felt. Because then I was, you know, looking online. I was like, yeah, we won't be back till 2019. And that really made me bad. I was like, what do you mean 2019? Like, I got to wait a whole fucking year? Are you serious?
And they've already filmed the other part of the movie. So, like, it's not even like they could have put out, like, let's resolve this next month, guys. These guys are hanging in limbo. They're all fucked up. Like, but I think between this, they're gonna put out Captain Marvel, and then they're gonna put out, so Captain Marvel's gonna bring it. I don't know what the fuck. Captain Marvel must gonna be
I'm
like,
so excited about
Superman
that.
Out this motherfucker, cause ain't nobody fucking with Thanos. Like, I don't know what Captain Marvel got up her sleeve, but it better be a lot. And then, like, that movie also takes place, like, in the 80s or some shit. So it's probably gonna be kind of funny. And hopefully we get, like, maybe some time travel shit. Maybe they gonna save him with time travel. I don't know. They're not gonna save him by fighting the fair one with Thanos, because he whooped the Hulk's ass. Like, he whooped everybody's ass. That like, everybody we respect that we have watched never lose got their ass whooped.
Everybody was taking them L's. And the thing is, I'm really excited about, I don't know much about Captain Marvel, but I'm really excited about Captain Marvel because I think that Captain Marvel will be done justice for a woman-centered superhero movie. Mm-hmm. You know, when it came to Wonder Woman, I don't care what nobody said, they did not market correctly, they did not push, they did not promote. Wonder Woman really could have came out like gangbusters. Do you know how many people did not know when that movie came out? That shows you have bad promotion, you know. But I think when Wonder Woman comes out, and it's coming out in Women's Month, you're going to have women groups sell out the theaters. Like it is going to gross a lot more than Wonder Woman. That's my prediction.
Possibly.
So I am really excited to see them do it justice and see the movie focus around her and not trying to be funny. Not seeing the Wonder Woman we got is not the Wonder Woman that I think the director's vision was. I think they forced her to water it down and eliminate stuff, and I don't think they gave her the budget that she should have had to actually do it correctly. It was a good movie, I'm not knocking that, but I think with this they're gonna be like, how much you want again? Let me write you a million more. Okay, it's all right if we go over the budget. Like, they're gonna really let them do their thing. So I'm really excited about that movie.
Yeah, I hope they learn from Black Panther and like, well, if you give people the tools and the money, then they're gonna reap more benefits financially than if you kind of hamstring the budget, you know. So hopefully DC learn, although that is saying DC learned something with movies, and that's probably not going to happen.
Go ahead, baby.
Yeah,
I was gonna say, I think the Marvel brand, sorry, I got a little feedback, but
okay, say it again.
Do y'all have headphones?
Well, then they would have to split them. They got one.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, my bad.
Anyway, go ahead. What were you saying, Mike?
I was just saying, like, I think the fact that the Marvel brand is so much stronger than the DC brand, it's just crazy to me that you see movies like Batman and Superman having trouble compared to Thor. And I think Captain Marvel will stack up that same way to Wonder Woman. It almost doesn't matter which character they put up against her. You know, it's not that they're in direct competition.
Right.
But I do think that the fact that Captain Marvel is not a household name. You know, I couldn't pick 10 people on the street and know who she is, but I still think it's going to probably do better just because of the marketing behind it. Like you said, Karen, like, I think the marketing for it's going to be a lot better.
And they're like, Marvel at this point, like, I feel like the floor for their movies is like 7 out of 10. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, oh, a bad Marvel movie, it was only like a 7 out of 10 to me. But then like a good Marvel movie is like a 10 out of 10. So like, there's an experience, and then, you know, obviously DC's floor is, you know, a lot lower.
Yeah, and also something that I'm looking forward to with Captain Marvel are little girls coming out with all those outfits. Like I am so looking forward to the capes and the outfits and the toys. And the thing is, people complain about toys. I don't really think it's Marvel. It's the fucking toy companies that actually fuck up the sales for them, because Marvel is like, y'all got the right to everything. Toy companies like, we don't know. Because the thing is, when Black Panther came out, there was not a Black Panther's Happy Meal. You're like I'm looking at these
which
things,
is weird, because like McDonald's specializes in black ass commercials, so you would think that's like a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Like every McDonald's commercial has like at least like two extra black people in it than other people's commercials. And then they were like, oh no, we don't really, no one's gonna buy this toy. It's like, oh, you idiots, you could have made so much money.
Right. It's like they fuck it up for themselves. It's like marketing. It's like, don't you want all the money? And Marvel is like, yes, we want all the money. Everybody was like, we want some of the money.
So the other question I have though for you guys is, what was your like least favorite film of 2018 so far, like most disappointing or whatnot?
Oh, I have an answer for that one.
There we go.
Yeah.
Tully.
Oh,
I hated Tully.
Well, that was who's that woman? Was that Charlize Theron?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I didn't see that one. What was so bad about it?
I really hated it. There's a twist ending that was really stupid and kind of undercut the message of the entire movie. Mm. I thought
that's always.
But I don't want to spoil it. So if you've seen it,
we
it
have
was
not
good.
We have not seen it. But and then sometimes when I don't see the movie, I save y'all's review for when I see the movie, so I can go back and be like, oh,
yeah.
Okay. What about you, Mike? Was there anything let you down this year?
You know, the one that I think I was most disappointed by that I thought was just going to be excellent was probably The Meg. I mean, I think going into that, you think, you know, Jason Statham and a giant shark. let's get the Oscar, right?
I thought that was better than what I expected.
No, I wasn't really. No, I think I wasn't better. I just was disappointed that it wasn't stupid enough. Like, yeah. I was really hoping for a much dumber time at the movies. But we had a good time, like, ripping on it. But I don't know. I think Tully was pretty bad. I don't know if I was disappointed by that. It was from Jason Reitman, who directed Up in the Air and Juno. So he's really good, usually. I think that one would probably be the one that kind of stuck out as kind of a disappointment.
That was just one of the movies that I walked out of the theater, like, angry with, like, mad that that movie got made. And that doesn't really happen, like, very often. So that's why it sticks out in my memory.
The only time that, I don't know if you guys have heard this story, we've recounted it several times on the podcast, but Elizabeth will get viscerally angry based on a bad movie. And the time this started was we saw the movie Jersey Boys, which came out in 2014 before we did the podcast. Now, you know us, we go see pretty much anything, especially me. I'll go see literally anything if you've got a bucket of popcorn in front of you. I don't care. But I was like, hey, why don't we go see this movie? Clint Eastwood directed it. He's made some good movies. Some of his movies really stink, but some of his movies are pretty good. And it's got some good actors in it. And she's like, okay. The movie was like half musical, half dour drama, which are not, it's not a good combination. And she literally would barely talk to me on the walk home. Like it was, I still bring it up to this day. Like, because she was so mad, as if I had been the one who not directed and written the movie, but like financed it and actually made it. From production, like I had been the executive producer, Mike Eltrian. That's why this sucked, man. I'm not talking to this guy for at least a week. This is not happening.
That was mad.
Ever since then, now I get worried after a movie like she's not gonna like it, or it's gonna be like a whole uncomfortable walk.
Aww. And who?
So
who,
I really try to.
Who wanted to go see it? Did you want to go see it, Mike, or what?
I mean, wanted is a strong word. You know, I said we should see it. You know, I'll take that L on that one, but I will say that it was my pick. So I take that blank, but yeah, it was my pick.
Yeah, when it's a bad movie and one of you like picks it, the other person is kind of like, I can't believe you did that to me. You know?
Yeah!
What I mean? Like it doesn't, it's more than just like, we experienced this bad thing together. It's more, why would you torture me? No, you knew this. You betrayed me. You knew this was going to be bad, and you did this to me. Karen, what was your your most disappointing movie of this 2018?
I got two, but I think I'll come back. The number one was Tomb Raider. I was very, very, very disappointed with Tomb Raider because I have actually played the video game, but it was too intense, so I stopped. I've actually watched Roderick play the video games, like the newer versions, and it's beautiful and it's colorful, and I was like, oh, this looks like this is going to be good. They did everything but properly Tomb Raid. It was bad. And like, I was like, what is this? Right, because it was like, okay, I won't do Tomb Raider, and like the last 25% was the Tomb Raiding, like, this is not what I want to see. I didn't give a fuck what it took to get her there. We could have started the movie with her in the ocean and the boat crashes, and then we could do all the other stuff. Like, you wasted so much time. I was like, that and the Fantastic Beasts movie. I love all the Harry Potter movies. Never read the book.
That's not 2018, but go ahead.
Okay. Oh, my bad. I was disappointed in that one. So I'm looking at this other one with Johnny Depp halfway, like, I don't know.
So, in the theater, I feel like 2018 has been a really good year for me. Like, even movies that I thought were just okay, I really ended up like it. I enjoyed the movie, like there was stuff like Den of Thieves, which, you know, not necessarily a good movie, but I enjoyed it for what it was. The most disappointing movie I saw this year wasn't in the theater, but Netflix has this movie called The Outsider. Starring Jared Leto, and that it was like a white man in the Yakuza, and it's terrible.
Yeah, like, you talked about that when I was like, yeah, he sounded like he was highly upset, because, you know, Roger normally is like yay or nay, you know, really simple, but this one he actually told me the plot, and when I was like, oh, you must be highly upset, sir.
Yeah, I just thought we weren't I thought we weren't making movies like this anymore, you know, like, and then Netflix, it's like Netflix does this thing where they buy everything,
right?
And you would think like, okay, they're buying stuff because they're gonna try to take chances on things that are outside the beaten path, so we're getting new type of stories. But then sometimes they just botch it, and you're like, you just bought this because you could. You didn't even vet it to see if it was good or better or different. And if, like, you're just totally relying on the fact that I don't want to leave my house as the selling point. That's not, like, that's kind of some bullshit. Like, spend money that I would have went to go to the theater to see it and make me feel like, what a value. I stayed home and I saw a theater quality movie, as opposed to this bullshit. So that would probably be my most disappointing movie I didn't see in a theater. As far as in the theater, man, I don't know. It feels like I walked into every movie this year knowing about what to expect. So I wasn't really let down by anything. If anything, I probably enjoyed more bad movies this year than, like, I enjoyed Tyler Perry's Acrimony. I enjoyed Breaking In.
Yes, I did. Me too. They were not good movies, but I had a ball.
Like,
Breaking In was awesome.
Yes, yeah. I love that one.
I loved, go ahead.
No, I loved Breaking In in an ironic way, I guess.
Yeah.
It wasn't a good movie, but it was fun.
Right. And also, like, you know where they fucked that movie up? That one stabby dude that reminds me of Roberto the Stabbing Robot from Futurama.
Yes, he does.
That dude should have been the bad guy. The other dude's not even scary.
Yes!
Like, that rapey dude with the knife, like, there's your villain. Who fucking cast that guy as the not villain? Like, what the fuck? He's like,
also,
oh.
The main bad guy was just like a good businessman. He was like, yeah, I just want to get, like, I'm committing a crime, but I just want to commit the main crime. I don't want to commit other crimes.
Right.
Like,
right.
Kill people. I just want to get that money.
Yeah.
I feel like we could have made a deal on that.
Right. He's like,
also, that was one of the things we said on the podcast about that episode was literally that ragtag group of Rogues Gallery villains was the least intimidating villain team ever.
Right.
Like, I thought I could beat up all of those guys.
None of those guys none of them were really professionals. They were all like haphazardly planning this crime. From the jump of the movie, they tell you like, oh, so we fucked up getting in here and the cops will be here in like an hour. So it's like, you guys are terrible at crime. They just have to wait you out an hour and then you have to leave. This is such fucking stupid criminals. It would have been better if they were like, I don't know, like, paramilitary, like assassins or something. Like, if they were some type of like, if they made me feel scared, then I would have felt more scared for her and her kids. But,
right, but
they didn't make me feel scared. Right.
No, I like.
And the one dude's like, he's on his lunch break. He's like, all right,
yes!
Guys. Look, this crime's taking.
He's got a Home Depot apron on. He's like, I gotta get back to work.
Come on, guys. Listen.
Yes.
This is like, taking a while. I thought we'd be out of here.
Like, he looking at his watch like, I'm trying to make a return on my investment and y'all are fucking it up for me.
Right.
Come on now. Let's sell this house.
God. And then the one dude that feels like he would be doing criminal shit to them is like second in command. He's not even like Roberto, stop stabbing people and get back to fucking work. He's like, oh,
I know, get back to the lawn section,
right.
Sir.
Oh, man, if he would let me kill you, I would so fucking kill you and your whole family. But like, I'm a criminal that respects protocol.
I know. I gotta go fuck with this fertilizer. I'll be right back.
But yeah, Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom was pretty bad.
It was
pretty bad. But it gave me what I like about that series, which is white people keep fucking with something till it kills them. It's like my second favorite genre of movie.
It's just so weird how they haven't figured out by now. We're like 5 movies in. We're on the second series of this thing being a bad idea. And
right.
Like, maybe we can make giant predators work.
Yeah.
No. So, never gonna work.
It's so dumb because they're like, the selling point of this dinosaur is that it's a ruthless killing machine that has no morals and eats like everything in its sight. And they're like, we should fucking put that out on the earth, dude. Like, why are we just putting it on this island, man? Let's let it get to humanity. It's like they keep fucking with shit. And then like the way that they ended it with the whole like the clone girl being the one to be like, let them be free. It's like, wait a minute. Have I been watching these movies backwards for 5 movies? Was I always supposed to be rooting for dinosaurs to be free? Cause
you
I
just didn't know it.
I didn't get that vibe until that moment. I was like, oh wait, it's kind of like Planet of the Apes. Like, no, the apes are the heroes. Let them be free. Let them fucking. And so now I think Jurassic World, whatever the next one is, Jurassic planet.
I don't know. What is the next one?
Whatever the next one is.
I don't know. Jurassic everything.
Jurassic solar system.
I know.
Whatever the next one is.
Jurassic, we coming to fuck you up.
I think I'm going to root for the dinosaurs next time. I think I'm done rooting for the humans in that series. I think it's time for dinosaur freedom.
Dinosaur rights.
Maybe they'll get like a Planet of the Dinosaurs type vibe. They'll start talking to each other and
Hashtag all dinosaur lives matter. Like, I mean, that's what it matters what said at the end of the movie.
They keep making the dinosaurs smarter. Like, the last one was like it was the Indominus Rex before this, and it was like a big ass Tyrannosaurus Rex that could make itself invisible, change its heat. It was smart enough to climb out of its pen, but instead it like cloaked itself and then walked out the pen like a fucking like Kaiser Sose or some shit. So I feel like then they made it with a raptor, which is the smartest of the dinosaurs, and it's got the other, like, already had raptor DNA and it already was smart and it still kept the superpowers of the other dinosaur. I really think the next one is gonna be like a heist film starring that dinosaur.
Yes!
Like, I'm hacking
it's like
this.
A team of 11 dinosaurs. All in like fancy suits. Just like each one has a special skill. Dinosaur Ocean's 11. It's perfect.
Yes.
I can't wait for the
Yeah, what
job.
Is that?
I'm like, there.
Whatever that dude who founded the park, I always forget his name, but it could be like his 11. You know what I mean? Like.
Yeah. Hammond's 11.
It's just dinosaurs wearing monocles and top hats and shit, and they're like suits, and they're like hacking into fucking banks, and.
I know.
Like, we'll get in the vault, and you're like, oh man, these dinosaurs are so fucking smart. Why did we ever let them out?
I know, and then they're talking about how dumb people are. All these people, they're so stupid.
Alright, last movie question, guys. What are y'all looking forward to for either the rest of this year or coming up next year? Like, what movie has your eye? I'll start first at you, Mike.
I think, sure. I want to see The Nun, which comes out next weekend, because the trailer scared the shit out of Elizabeth, not once, but twice. The second time, we had already seen it together. So I just can't wait. Like, we don't usually go see horror movies. You guys listen to the podcast. We very rarely review horror movies because I get enough bad stuff in real life, but we all get enough bad stuff in real life. I don't want to go see 2 hours of a scary movie. So, but this one is different because it looks so creepy that I kind of want to see it just to see what her reaction will be. And that might be kind of entertaining, but that's like the immediate one that I'm kind of excited about.
The immediate one I'm excited about is Peppermint with Jennifer Garner.
Yeah. Yes.
It's like Taken with a female.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my God. Listen, did you watch Alias? Cause it's kind of like,
yeah, I enjoyed Alias.
It's like if Alias was real and then Sydney became Gina Davis's character in Long Kiss Goodnight. Like that's in my head canon. That's what happened. Like, she lived through all of the Alias show, and then she like was like, I'm gonna get a family now and I'm gonna just chill. And then then the Mexican gang, of course, shoots up the carnival, as they do.
Yeah.
And why was there a drive-by at the carnival? That's the only part
I have no idea.
Who's on the Ferris wheel that they actually want to kill?
Yeah, it's literally...
There's like a gangbanger with like cotton candy. It's like, oh shit, that was for me, wasn't it?
Yeah. I just came here for the candy apple. I didn't know I was gonna get shot at. That's all I wanted.
I hope the plot is that the Mexican gang got cheated at all the games at the carnival.
Ah! They met at all the carnies.
Like, I really wanted that fucking teddy bear, and then just like fucking come back and Uzi up the place.
I know, these games are rigged. Take this.
And then the other thing was that she had it's basically the origin story of like the Punisher.
Mm-hmm.
Cause like the Punisher, same thing. Like, he's chilling with his family in like the park or the carnival, and then motherfuckers get to killing his family and shit, and now you should have killed him because he's gonna kill all of you. And I'm always into that. And then Jennifer Garner is one of my faves, so yeah, I really am looking forward to Peppermint.
Looks like fun, and I think
go ahead. No, Mike, you got it.
I was just gonna say, like, part of the reason I'm excited for it, you compared it to Taken. I think Liam Neeson started something with Taken where it was kind of the brainless action movie with somebody who hasn't been an action star before. I know Jennifer Garner did Alias, but it's almost like that. They started this thing where it's like white white actors in their 60s who were kind of done are now getting like a second breath of fresh air, a second wind, where they get to be an action star, like Kevin Costner, Liam Neeson, and now it's like going down to like Jennifer Garner, and hopefully it goes out to other groups as well to get that opportunity to make like a dumb action movie. So should be fun.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite genres of movies. So I said my second favorite was sci-fi, white people fucking with shit until it kills them, which, you know, that's like a staple of the Hollywood. It's like, let's make that movie again. Prometheus is, you know, even like Venom. Venom looks like that, but they just calling it a comic book movie. Like, it just took Venom and was like, no, let's just make it white people fucking with something, and then it kills them. And you're like, okay, I'm down with this. But my first favorite genre of movie is Impossible White Man movies.
Yes, me
and
too.
So those are like, you know, Skyscraper, Die Hard, and then like you said with Taken took it another step and was like, what if we made it more impossible by having a 60-year-old white man kill people? Now, it's called Impossible White Man, but you don't actually have to be a white man to be an impossible white man. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just the name of the genre. Right. Like, you know,
you don't die.
Well, Equalizer 2 just came out.
Yes, exactly. Impossible White Man movie starring Denzel Washington. Yeah. And so this movie, Peppermint, looks like Impossible White Man starring an older woman. And I love that trickle down. Like, it's that meritocracy of it where it's like, all right, guys, we've had enough of the same white dudes. Let's get some chicks in there. And so I'm really looking forward to her getting her chance to just like randomly kill people, with impunity. Karen, what about you? What's your most anticipated 2018 movie coming up?
Oh, 2018.
Well, I love, this is the third time in a row.
I know. I am looking forward. I'm just going to skip the rest of this year because there's no Disney movies coming out in December. I'm looking forward to Infinity Wars Part 2. Like, I mean, everything else is cool. Mm-hmm. It's a substitute. Like, that's what I want to know, the rest of the storyline.
Okay. I thought you were going to maybe pick, like, Creed 2 or something like that.
I'm looking forward to that, too, but, you know, no.
No? Okay, well, I'm just saying in 2018. Mine, I think Widows comes out this fall.
Yes.
And that trailer is a beast.
Mm-hmm. Like, they're going to be fucking some shit up.
Yeah, that trailer, between, like, my favorite trailers of this year were probably, obviously the Mission Impossible trailer.
Yes.
The original, the one that had the, like,
yes.
The up with the victims, boom, 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 down with the
demons. Yes, why didn't we stop playing that one? That was awesome.
Okay,
yeah. For that super shitty one.
Right. Yes. We didn't know that, and I'm gonna tell you right now, the most hilarious part is, for months, neither one of us knew that fucking song. All I knew is I was like, boop. Do, 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 do. And she would like walk on beat and they would shoot the guns. So finally some fans of the show actually sent us the link to the song. I was like, okay, that's what the hell that song is.
Yeah.
I didn't give a fuck. All I know was that I liked the way it flowed with the movie.
And they made that song like years ago.
Right?
Like, they didn't even make that song for that movie. It just happened to go so great with that trailer.
Oh, yes. And I got mad when they changed it. I was like, what the fuck is this? We not on beat no more?
Yeah.
I did too.
Yeah.
I did too.
Like, you can't just like change that great music. Like, at least keep the music.
Right.
You know what I mean? But then they changed it to like, you know, every other trailer is just like either like super slow-mo R&B or like trap music or something. I was not
interested in none of that.
Nah, man. It's Tom Cruise. He deserved the best, man. Which that outside of the Marvel movies, that's probably my favorite movie of the year. By the way, I forgot to mention that. So
that was a great one.
Yeah, yes. Man, he did his thing, man. That motherfucker learned to fly a helicopter on the fly.
Yes, he did. And he ran a marathon in the whole movie.
Nobody does that, man. And and it was right. It was kind of like when Ant-Man had Michael Pena do his thing. Mm-hmm. But it was right at that moment in the theater, and I guess probably everyone had the same thought where you're like, is Michael Pena gonna do that thing? Did I just fucking buy a ticket to Ant-Man and he's not even gonna do the fucking thing? And not only does he do the thing, but he does it for like 2.5 minutes. Mm-hmm. So you're like, oh, he's doing the thing. Everybody's like cracking up like more and more and more. and then they don't go back to it. So like, there's just like the perfect, like, we knew you were looking for the thing, guys. That's what Tom Cruise running was. Tom Cruise running in this one was everyone in the theater being like, so he's not gonna do the run?
I mean,
and they're like, oh, he's gonna do the run. He's gonna do the run way fucking harder than he's ever done the run.
Yes.
Oh, you thought he didn't have it? Did you think Tom Cruise didn't have it in him no more? That motherfucker's aging backwards. That was so beautiful.
Ain't he aging backwards? Yes, he is.
God, what a great moment.
One of my favorite parts in any movie this year, and I think one of the most motivational parts in any movie, is when Tom Cruise is behind the wheel, or whatever, I don't know if helicopters have wheels, but behind the steering thing of a helicopter, and he stops off the, like, he's like, all right, don't worry about it, I'll get the thing, and then he goes, all right, I can do this. And you're like, oh shit, he's gonna figure it out now. Yeah. Like, I can't get up at 5:30 to work out at the gym and he can teach himself how to use a helicopter?
Right.
Like, I gotta work harder.
Right. Like, and like, they're
what
not,
what have I been doing with my life?
And the rest of the team's not even, they're not even privy to this part of the conversation, cause he's just like, yeah, I'm on my way, I'm right behind him. All right, up is down. And then this must be on. I'm like, what the fuck? And he still did it. Ah, oh, what a, that's
he's
my
like
man.
Googling it on his phone.
Yes.
Yes.
That is my man, dude. Tom Cruise, like, everyone says, like, oh, Tom Cruise should play someone in the Marvel movie. No, he's already a superhero.
Yes, he will play himself. What are we talking about here?
Yeah, he should show up in the Marvel universe as Tom Cruise and beat Thanos. You know what I mean? Like, that's the secret to Avengers War Part 2 is Tom. Everybody's like, it's Tom Cruise. He doesn't have like an intro or anything.
Mm-mm. He just shows up.
Guys, I see you guys are in real trouble this time. I waited the other 17 movies out, but we went back to the 80s and got 80s Tom Cruise to come fix this shit. All right, guys. I'm pretty sure this has officially been the longest intro ever to the Blackout Test podcast, but this is the Blackout Tips podcast, and you can find us on iTunes and Stitcher.
Mm-hmm.
Leave us 5-star reviews. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and the unofficial sport
is Bullet Ball
and Bullet Ball Extreme. And today's podcast is brought to you by Shadow Dog Productions, who has a YouTube page. They would love for you guys to click on things, to like them, to share them. They're putting up a new video literally this minute on YouTube at 11 a.m. he told me. So if you go to their YouTube channel, Shadow Dog Productions, check out their new video, like it, click on it, share it, all those things, leave a comment, all the things you do on YouTube. And then also don't forget our live show September 20th, it's coming up. They still have tickets available, general admission, VIP sold out, but if you are in the Charlotte area and you need a ticket and you can't afford a ticket, we have people who have bought tickets to give to people who can't, you know, either can't afford it or maybe they weren't gonna be able to make it or whatever. So email us theblackguywhotips@gmail.com and I will send you over the PDF of the ticket. You print it out, show up at Showtime, and we'll see you guys on September 20th.
I know, we're so looking forward to it. And also, I almost forgot, today is what, the second, I don't know if the second or the third,
I know, yeah, the Blackout Tips Day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so wear your Blackout Tips gear out, guys, okay? Take pictures, let us know that you're thinking about us, spread the word. People are gonna be like, whoa, that is a fire shirt, where'd you get that from? You'd be like, oh, these faces, these faces on my chest, these are people who have opinions, and you can go listen to them.
Yes.
We appreciate everybody takes time out to do that. All right, let's get into different stuff with the news. We have talked so long, I'm gonna skip regular news. Wait, did regular news happen?
I don't know, it don't matter, it's depressing.
Yeah. All right, let me check the regular news real quick before
I know regular news. I'm like, boo,
is there anything to talk about? Yeah, I didn't watch any one of those funerals, guys, so I don't have any funeral updates for everybody.
Me either.
I don't really consume funerals as entertainment. And you're right, Cam, the rest of these are pretty depressing. All right, let's move to some other depressing news and play some games, guys. All right. Actually, you know what? Let's make it a special day. Let's do white people news, okay?
Woo-hoo!
We rarely have white people on the show. We got some official white people here. I feel like we should play.
We got some experts on this.
Right. Now we have people who will know who these people are. I don't
know who people are. Like, I really don't. I'd be like, who? Why are we talking about them?
Yeah, we don't always know who these white people are. And Karen and I spend a lot of the time being like, well, what did they do?
I know, so I'm researching.
Maybe you guys will know. Now, of course, as with all white people news, I have to start it with a cover of black people music by white people with a
good guitar. Boo, boo.
This is actually secretly everybody's favorite part, even mm-mm. though they write me and say it's not. But I think the lady doth protest too much. Because you guys seem to respond to this more than anything else. So
how bad is this gonna be?
Well, this one is oh, unavailable. Wow, I hate when they know it's terrible and they take it down before I can share it with you guys. all right, he must have knew he had no reason fucking with that. All right, let's do a different one. Let's see if I can bring this one up. Oh man, this is gonna piss a lot of people. It's Anita Baker, a lot of people's fave. There's a live band that is doing a whole thing with her.
Oh snap.
As soon as it loads.
I don't know if I'm ready for this.
I mean, see, the other part of it is it could be really good.
That's true. It could be.
Occasionally we hit one and we're like, wow, these people are really good at this and I appreciate them. It doesn't always have to be terrible. It's just normally terrible. So this is by, Bird and the Band is the name of, this group. Let me see how many views this has. 670 views, so it's up in the air, guys. We don't know that they're good because not enough people have seen it, but it does have 15 thumbs up and 2 thumbs down. Okay. Which we don't know who thumbs those up. Sometimes it could be family and friends, it could be the band themselves. Okay, before I even finish this, can I just say I love her dress? I love that dress. And the thing with her hair, that is dope.
I love the love in the background.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I love you, baby. Stay with me and you will see my arms. We'll hold you, baby. Never leave, 'cause I believe I'm in love, sweet love. Hear me calling out your name. I feel no shame. I'm in love, sweet love. Don't you ever go away. It'll always be this way. Your heart is calling me closer to you. I will be. You need just trust in what we're feeling. Never leave, 'cause baby I believe in this love, sweet love. Hear me calling out your name. I feel no shame. I'm in love, sweet love. Don't you. World. Oh, baby, no, you're my man, I'm your girl. I'll never go, wait and see, can't be wrong. Don't you know this is where you belong? Oh, the sweetest dream, how lovely, baby. Stay right here.
You know what? I like it. It's bad.
No, it's not bad. It's not
okay. I can feel a little hate coming off of the chat room, like they was trying to hate on it.
It's better. Like mm-hmm. at least she stayed on beat, because a lot of times we get it where they don't stay on beat, or right. they remix it so bad you don't even recognize the song.
Right.
And I give her credit for staying within her range, because you know
she did stay within her range.
She has like a deep voice, like a deepness to her voice, and she was like, look, I can't do all
she
that
didn't
so I'm
do,
gonna stay here.
She didn't do an Anita impression,
right?
I think that was the smartest part.
Correct.
Of the, because can't nobody be Anita.
Mm-mm.
All right, guys, let's get into white people news. All right, we've suffered enough, and I don't have any Trump news today to also talk about. So because normally we also talk about Trump here, because white people voted for Trump, not us. But we decided not to today, because I don't have any fucking new news with that dude. I wish he would have went to that funeral for McCain so he could have
That'd have been a meltdown.
I just want to see him try to sit still without tweeting for 2 hours and see what the fuck that looks like. Sweating and shit. And then you know they're gonna be talking shit about him anyway. Why that makes noise anyway. To white people news, Ben Affleck has a new girlfriend, Shauna Sexton, who's 22, and she is sizzling in bikini photos apparently.
Oh, ain't this the one that did not take him to rehab?
Okay, so the Ben Affleck saga. He was married to Jennifer Garner, mm-hmm. but then he like got caught on Tom Brady's plane with like some chicks or something, and then they got divorced, and then he started dating Lindsay Shookus, who writes for Saturday Night Live, and then they broke up very recently, mm-hmm. and now he has a 22-year-old girlfriend named Shauna Sexton, but then he just went to rehab where Jennifer Garner drove him to rehab,
right?
So I don't know if they're still together, him and his 22-year-old girlfriend, or what, you know. Kind of that might have been part of the rehab, the drugs. I don't know if that was a real thing, but anyway, she's sizzling in a bikini photo shoot, and that's important. She's not afraid to show a little skin, and Ben Affleck's new girlfriend Shauna Sexton appeared to be reveling in the moment in front of the lens as she posed in a bikini during a photo shoot on Monday morning. The 22-year-old Playboy model, man, is every rich white dude over like 50 in Hollywood dating the same chick? Like, is there just like an assembly line? What the fuck? Like, is there a catalog?
It's actually the same sizzling chick.
Yes.
It's like, is there a catalog? They're just like, oh, I'll take the Playboy model again. So then she took a photos. She was reveling in the moment in front of the lens. She posed in a bikini during a photo shoot. The 22-year-old Playboy model put her killer curves on display in a retro-inspired Versace two-piece. Amid reports that her actor beau split from Lindsay Shookus after more than 1 year of dating. And there she is in her at the photo shoot, which is kind of always funny because like that's a candid photo of an actual photo being taken. That's a real photo,
right?
It's like, here's that pic, here's like a preview of that picture before Photoshop and lighting and all the shit they do. Shauna's sun-kissed skin glistened in the sunlight as she struck a pose in the mustard yellow bikini. A tight bandeau. What is it? Bandeau.
I have no idea.
Bandeau. Bandeau. Anyway, it a tight bandeau top.
I guess the type of top.
Okay, it must be this halter top thing. Okay, that's a bandeau apparently, guys. Now we know.
Oh, guess short for bandana, because it looks like a bandana.
Well, I know band.
So it looks like a wrap or something.
Yes.
Yeah. Something you wrap around your elbow or.
Yeah.
Something.
I know bandeau in rap means abandoned building that you sell drugs from, but I'm sure they're not talking about the same thing.
I'm positive that's not the same thing.
Yeah. Fetty Wap and her are not. They don't hang.
Yeah.
But the bandeau top was wrapped around her ample assets and a sheer black kimono with gold studs draped across her shoulders.
And matching, we always love the descriptions because the description tells you a lot when they describe people.
Matching high-waisted bottoms revealed tan lines on her hips with a black leather belt wrapped around her svelte physique and various golden chains draping down her thighs. Yeah, I see she has like two crosses on in this picture. So she's like doubly religious, man. That's probably why. That's probably why her and Ben got together. You know what I mean? They met in church, and then he was like, "Oh my God, two crosses!" Like,
yeah. Somebody bought a point. Do bathing suits actually need a belt?
I don't think they. That is an avant-garde choice there, Karen, to wear that belt. Keeping with her retro theme, a bevy of chokers were positioned around her neck, with massive gold earrings peeking from underneath her ashy blonde hair. Now that is weird that ashy is a compliment in this chant, in this phrase. You really don't see ashy as a compliment in our community.
No, it means you need lotion.
Right. That is interesting. Ashy blonde hair. She added a pair of strappy black heels to her already statuesque frame and kept a wide brimmed hat on her head. Sexton has been spotted around town with Ben throughout the week after the couple were first seen leaving Nobu, Malibu on Thursday. That means he's definitely doing cocaine.
Yeah.
that much. If you're hanging out with 22-year-old models and you're a grown-ass man, you're doing cocaine. So it's not too much of a shock that the outlet reported on Monday that the Batman star 46 is split from his girlfriend of 1 year, Lindsay Shookus, 38. They are still very amicable and have stayed friends. Does anyone have a bad breakup in Hollywood? Everyone's friends. He got caught cheating on a plane, but they're still very friendly about everything. Like, yeah. What the fuck? It's okay to be mad.
Because everybody's rich, so like, hey, I got money, you got money, we good. Versus a lot of times somebody end up broke or losing half, so everybody's like, that bitch stole my money.
I don't know. I feel like if your man gets spotted with a 22-year-old model leaving the club, it's okay to be a little upset for a while.
This is
a week ago. Right. She's already like, we're still friends. It's totally fine, everyone. I would never be mad.
Because he's actually old enough to be her father.
Right? That's true. They're still very amicable and have stayed friends, and they both tried to make it work, but the distance just proved to be too much for them right now. Family comes first for them both, unless it's with this woman who is 22 years old and drugs. Ben lives in Los Angeles to be near the three kids he shares with Jennifer Garner, Violet, Serafina, and Samuel. Lindsay lives in New York to be near her young son and also her job producing Saturday Night Live. And I guess this is when Ben and her went for food last on Sunday in the car. She really does like she could be his daughter, though. Like, for real.
Yes.
Like, oh, my daughter's about to go off to college, and I was taking her out to brunch driving her to...
Right, like he had her in his 20s. Right.
Ben and Lindsay were said to be an item on July of 2017, and they made their first official appearance together in September 2017. The couple were last photographed together in July in Puerto Rico, and Shookus reportedly deleted her Instagram account on Sunday. See, she didn't know about this shit. She's lying. Or her rep is lying with that hoe with her friends. You don't delete your Instagram when this motherfucker gets caught with a 22-year-old model because you knew. Psh. Lindsay was noticeably absent from his 46th birthday festivities with the family on Wednesday evening. Shauna, who hails from Virginia Beach, Virginia, received the coveted title of Miss May 2018. Oh, it's down to months now? Okay. And has also returned to Playboy for various blogs and photo shoots. So that's kind of like the Jet Beauty of the Week type thing, I guess, that you get Beauty of the Month for Playboy. Sexton lists herself as single on her Facebook page.
Yeah, because she is. Like, I'm 22. Why am I with this old man?
Right. And in addition to her career as a scantily clad model, she boasts about her work with animals as a veterinarian technician. I started in this field when I was about 16, she told Playboy. After my first experience in surgery, I realized working fast paced and under pressure is for me. Whatever requires me to move quickly and freely is intriguing. I love surgery more than anything. Well, good, because this dude is old and he might need some.
Right, he can't move freely and quickly, baby. It's limitations to what he can do.
If they ever had to do that scene from Pulp Fiction where he overdoses, she's there. At the time, she told the publication that she was very much single and is looking for someone with a strong head on their shoulders. I want someone who's able to compromise but doesn't sell themselves short. I appreciate people who are the truest forms of themselves and brutally honest about who they are. The Armageddon star appearance comes after he celebrated his birthday with his children, who they've lynching his children again, which they must have forgot. They already told us their names. Violet, Serafina, and Samuel. Earlier in the day,
I think he forgot about them too.
Right. Yes, he did. He did.
What's your name again?
Which one are you?
I just want to make sure I'm not dating one of you guys, because I like them young. Earlier in the day, Ben was spotted headed in the Refugee Recovery Treatment Center in the Venice Beach area of Los Angeles. That's so ritzy that they, like, it's kind of some irony to the fact that they have this rich ass recovery center and then they name it Refugee. Like the rich people go to Refugee Recovery. It's so ridiculous. Ben and Jen have yet to settle their April 2017 divorce and are separating in June 2015 following 10 years of marriage. So they're not even, I guess, technically divorced yet.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. The actor is reportedly in a good place and is doing well after recent reports surfaced that he and Jen, 46, were sent legal warnings by the court for dragging their feet over their divorce. He's in a good place mentally and has worked really hard to get here, a source told the publication. He continues to focus on himself and the health of his relationships. So
the court was like, y'all taking too long, either divorce or don't. Quick, tie in our courtroom up with this bullshit.
Right. They do need to hurry up and get divorced, though.
Right?
He's going to try to take some of that peppermint money. So you got to watch out.
Right? And then you know what's weird? They dragging their feet. And then, you know, it's some marriages. I think that shit is like FedEx. It's like, ooh, 3 days later, we divorced. You're like, how the fuck you get divorced that quickly?
Yeah. I think Kim Kardashian had like a whole ass wedding, like a marriage annulled. Like, she's like, it hasn't been 30 days. This does not count. I have the receipt, and I would like a refund. A
refund on all my investments.
On everything. And other related white people news. Drunk wasps are going on stinging rampages in UK beer gardens.
Oh, wasps get drunk?
Apparently, this article says, talk about a buzzkill. right? apparently wasps are angry drunks, guys. These little pests are likely to get even more pest-like when booze is involved. According to the Daily Mail, wasps that have been imbibing in leftover cider at beer gardens have been going on stinging rampages in the UK, wreaking havoc on lager-loving humans. Apparently,
so they leaving shit out and they like, ooh, something to drink, and then like, I'm fucked up.
Yeah, and I would imagine it doesn't take that much beer to get a wasp drunk, I imagine.
Right, probably a sip. It's a fucking right. Wasp.
So just any amount left over, and then now you got to fight wasp.
I think the real problem is going to be when they find their way to the liquor cabinet, because right. Then they're really going to get fucked up. That's going to be a real problem.
Right, start getting into mixed drinks. It's all over, guys. Right. All over.
apparently, the insects have been turning to cider for sustenance after a harsh UK winter. Because of Storm Emma, it affected way more than just you and your neighbors. Wasps have built absolutely massive nests now, and have Ooh. And that all the larvae, they've grown up, and the queen has stopped laying eggs. The colonies have a workforce with nothing to do and nothing to eat, so they go down to the pub, obviously. So they're like humans.
Oh shit, they're like, we bored,
I ain't got no job. I ain't got no money. I'm gonna get fucked up, man.
Right, I can't get no honey or no honey. What the hell is this?
Right. Wasps don't do honey. What the fuck are you looking at, man? What are you looking at, bro? You got a problem? And then they just start stinging.
I'm sorry, yeah, that's the bees. That's their cousin, my bad.
No, bees are industrious. They're like the hardworking wasps and shit. the bees are like the respectable ones in the community, and they look down on the wasps like, oh fuck the wasps, they're always ruining everything. Like the bees read this article and they're like, these fucking wasps, man, now they're gonna be out fucking trying to kill us all.
Right. I'm just hard working. I'm just trying to make a life for me and my family, and y'all are fucking it up.
Right. The bees, that's who needs to take care of this. The bees need to go down to the beer garden and be like, guys, leave the humans alone, okay? We're hardworking, and you're fucking up the whole community right now. And get your shit together.
Yeah, I can see the bees. Somebody said the bees out there was signs. I'm like, get a job, you bums.
Right. And then the wasps can sting multiple times without dying.
Oh.
But bees can only sting once. So it's like not fair either. You know, maybe that's the difference, is if bees could sting you without dying, maybe they wouldn't be responsible and studious.
I mean, I always assumed growing up that wasps were like the bad guys and bees of the insects who could sting you. Bees were like kind of the good guys, because wasps were just dicks. Like bees had right. to be, if they stung you, they were dying.
Right. Sorry.
But they were dying, so it meant something to them. They were defending themselves. Wasps could just sting as many people as they want.
Right.
They were just assholes.
Like, wasps will, like, follow you and shit. You know what I mean? Like, right, like right. If you run away from a bee, a bee's like, all right, he got the message. Let's go back to the hive. But
right.
The wasps were just looking for trouble, like, in West Side Story, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, that holding him back. He's like, no, bro, don't hold me back. Right. I'm going to get them.
Jimmy, get the heater. Gonna take him down.
I know, right?
So Britons shouldn't be surprised they start finding swarms hovering over their leftover ciders or fruity beers. However, the alcohol makes the wasp very testy, which leads to them stinging people more aggressively. This article has so many good editorials. Sounds a bit like other pub patrons we know, frankly.
Who
are you even talking to, article writer?
Who are these pub patriots that's out here stinging right. folks?
John, you know what you do.
Billy, we seen you last week.
Right, what does that mean? A rep for the Sussex Wildlife Trust told the Daily Mail, in the spring, queen wasps wake from hibernation and start to build their nests, laying eggs and raising their first brood of daughters. So the nests only get bigger and the wasps get more numerous and the wasp party debauchery continues. These pests are also attracted to sweet foods, much like humans are. That is a scientific fact.
Was this written by a wasp?
I know. You overweight fat bastards.
Right. Watch your back, humans. I'm drunk and I'm writing this, and I don't just sting. I also sting with biting sarcasm and wit, as addition to my actual stings.
And I will be eating your cupcakes that you have next week.
D. Ward Thompson, technical manager at the British Pest Control Association, told Daily Mail that the best way to avoid these drunken insects is to dispose of your trash properly. We always advise waste be secured, bagged, and held with a clean container away from where young children might play. So keep your beer empties away from the kids, everybody.
And the wasp, apparently.
Drunk wasps are going, they're done with our shit. Kelsey Grammer, he's a white person, he's pretty white. He says his fourth wife's name is tattooed on his crotch to prevent him from cheating.
I don't think that's how that works.
Is that how cheating
yeah.
works?
Is it supposed to like put a ceiling around it? You know, somebody goes, you know, goes for some action, all of a sudden a covering bounces around it. I don't understand.
Yeah. It's like you pull out your dick and somebody, oh my God, who's Chelsea? Oh man, damn, I almost was able to cheat. Oh my God.
Like, oh my God, what is this wild on your dick? Poop, poop, poop. Get this shit off of here.
Also would never, this also seems like something Fraser Crane would never do. Like this seems so beneath a man of that. Or the Beast, or even Beast in X-Men. Kelsey Grammer's fourth wife, K-A-Y-T-E. Is that Kate or Katie? I don't know if her name's Kate or Katie. K-A-Y-T-E. That's a different spelling. Rich white people and poor black people, we have the same names. Look it up. It's true. Kate came up with an inventive way to ensure her husband keeps his marital promise of fidelity. During a visit on Conan on Wednesday, Grammer opened up about the tattoo of Kate's or Katie's name he has by his crotch, revealing that it was her idea to put the permanent ink there so he wouldn't cheat. It was more of a sort of an ownership thing, he said. He is 63 years old, and this is the way he came up with the not cheat, you know, as a 63-year-old. the same way like a 14-year-old would, right? My wife said, why don't you get a tattoo? I guess it was sort of based on the idea that if I ever thought maybe a peccadillo outside of marriage was a good idea. You can't use peccadillo and I need a tattoo by my dick in the same.
Is that an spot. Animal? What the hell is a peccadillo?
It's a affair. It's a nice word for affair.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like an animal. I was like, what kind of animal is this?
It's the cousin to the armadillo.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, they must be relatives. What the fuck is this?
He said if I might think that cheating on her was a good idea, that whoever might be, you know, seeing this particular piece of equipment would see it. Was already signed and owned by someone named Kate.
So it's called a piece of equipment. That's what we calling it now.
This is also betting this is betting heavily on a guy who's already had three failed marriages, right? Like now he gotta have this forever. Like, okay, I guess, you know, believe in yourself, but you're just gonna be her like wife number five and she's gonna always be like, oh yeah, that's right, you used to be married to Kate or Katie. News of his tattoo first made headlines in 2012. Tattoo artist James Eastwood told the Chicago Sun-Times that he inked the former Frasier and Cheers star. The tattoo set in blue ink with letters about half an inch tall cost the actor $60. That's it. Kate was by his side during the inking at the time. They had only been married 14 months and she was pregnant with their first child. Daughter Faith Evangeline Elisa, now 6. The couple have 2 other children, Kelsey Gabriel Elias and Auden James Ellis.
Man, men kick it forever.
So let me get this straight. The kids aren't a good reminder not to cheat, but the tattoo on your dick is a perfect reminder.
Right.
It is. Got it. I just wanted to make that clear.
Yeah. Sometimes you know how you forget. You're like, am I married or not? Oh, this tattoo by my dick. That is right. I'm sorry, ma'am. Yeah. You're going to have to leave.
Right.
And who the fuck are these kids here? Oh, that's right. They're mine.
Right. Right. Right.
And it's dependent on the woman that would be having an affair with him to have all the morality, right? Like it's on, like it's on her to be like, I'm going to suck Cussy Grammar's dick. Wait a minute, sir. This is an outrage.
I will not sully my lips now near that name. Right, right, right.
Walsh met Grammer in England when he was still married to his third wife, Camille Grammer. So she's like, you know what? A tattoo would have stopped me. So I would have spat that dick right out of my mouth if I read that tattoo. the former couple, that'd be a hell of a spit take to record.
Right? What?
Kate! The former couple tied the knot in 1997 and shared 2 children together, Mason 16 and Jude 13. Camille filed for divorce from Kelsey in 2010 after he told her of his affair when filming wrapped on season 1 of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. He was on that? Or his wife was on that?
Probably his wife.
Oh, I didn't, wow. So they're getting actual people.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I thought they were just making that shit up.
Mm-mm.
Like, oh, this person's important. They're on reality TV.
Yeah, we don't know the importance of the connections, but yeah, they be somebody.
Interesting. Their divorce would go on to be finalized in 2011. 2 weeks later, he got married to Kate.
Wow.
Yep. Kelsey has said that he regretted how he handled his divorce from Camille, telling Anderson Cooper in 2012 that he wished he was honest about his affair from the get-go. It was the worst decision, he said. I should have come home from England when I first met Katie and said, listen, I've met somebody and this hasn't been working for a long time and I regret not doing that. It was very painful and uncomfortable. It was uncomfortable for Kate or Katie. It was uncomfortable for all of us. There are a ton of things that I do regret, but I can't spend my life apologizing. We make mistakes in life, but hopefully we're with people who know how to forgive. Now, look at this tattoo on my dick. This time's gonna be different.
This makes it official.
In June, Camille confessed on Twitter that the two were anything but amicable, explaining that they don't speak. Oh, finally! Yes! Realness! This is what I'm talking about! Fuck Kelsey Grammer, girl! He cheated on you! I don't begrudge him his happiness. What's unnerving is the fact that I was there to help him get through some of his hardships and supported his career and his sobriety. I was right by his side and he acts like I never existed. That's disappointing. We were together through his success. I was there during the writer's strike and the cancellation of Back to You. We moved the company to our home in Malibu. I sat at his bedside for 8 days straight while he was in the cardiac intensive care unit in NYC. I read him poetry and helped him wash his hair. She continued, now I don't exist.
Right. She was like, oh, bitch, I got the receipts. What have you done?
Camille came with that hot fire.
Yeah, she was like, I've been doing stuff.
A tattoo on his dick will never replace me.
It sure won't, baby.
Can a dick tattoo wash your hair, Kelsey? Can it sit with you in the ICU? I don't think so. Despite both moving on, Camille is currently planning a wedding to fiance David C. Meyer. She still wishes things were different with Kelsey. We have 2 beautiful children from our union, and I was blessed to have shared those years of my life with him. She wrote, we both have moved on. I just wish it ended in a more civil manner.
I bet you he don't get no invite.
Oh, nah, you can't. Well, he's a mother. He's a father of kids. I don't know how that works, honestly. I don't know how. What? You probably have to invite the father of the kids to the next wedding. Is that?
Do you really? Yeah. Do you?
Yeah, I just realized I don't know.
Do you? Can you be like, oh, fuck? Right. Can you be like, no, fuck you. I don't want to be bothered with you today.
All
right.
Last white people news. Actually, let me see if I can find a shorter one because we're almost out of time. A mom and son contract rat longworm after eating raw centipedes.
Why are we eating raw centipedes, people?
It is white people news, Karen. A woman and her grown son contracted rat longworm after eating raw centipedes that they bought at a market in China. What?
I have a question. So we know that this is a disease. That means other people have consumed this before for us to even be able to identify what the fuck it is.
I mean, they sell it. So somebody bought it and ate it. So but somebody, why would you do that?
Somebody has eaten it before for them to be like, oh, you got this same shit.
Well, they just, is it like a delicacy or some shit? Or?
I don't know, but don't be eating random books.
Yeah, scientists say not to eat it, obviously. They're saying the A. contenensis parasite, often known as the rat longworm, was transmitted through an intermediate centipede host. Rat longworm is a parasite that's found in rodents. The infected rodents then pass the parasite's larvae through their feces, later infecting snails and slugs, among other creatures, that when they ingest the larvae. Humans who eat raw or undercooked snails or slugs then that contain the parasite can be infected. It's typically found in China and East Asia, though it has also been reported in the U.S. The newly reported research is significant because it suggests the parasite can be found in centipedes as well. The mother and sons, ages 78 and 46, whose identity...
What? Too old to know better than this?
Right? Their identities remain anonymous, but they were put into the hospital after eating the arthropods. Both patients exhibited signs of meningitis. Such as a long-lasting headache and drowsiness. Meningitis specialists, I don't know. They suggested testing for longworms, and then they found out that they had them.
Sounds like an episode of House.
Right, yeah. And then the doctor got a real bad attitude, and that's how they figured it out. He was mean to everybody, because you can't be smart and nice in the world and be brilliant. All geniuses are dicks, guys. All right, let's get into our last segment, guys. It's a little segment we like to call Sword Ratchetness, where we talk about, a lot of people talk about gun crime, and I do think we need different measures of gun control and stuff, but we can't even have sword control yet. People are walking around with swords, hurting other people all the time, and very no one dangerous. Talks about it in the news except us. Let me play my intro song sound. A drunk,
longest intro ever.
A drunk man terrified people as he swung a sword around a children's park.
Oh shit.
Right? Imagine drunk and having a sword. He then approached.
This is when you need those wasps to sting him away.
Right.
The drunk wasps.
Right. Yeah, the drunk wasps. That's right.
Drunk wasps wouldn't have played that shit. They would be like, oh, now you need us. And the bees were like, oh yeah, we do need them for stuff like this. This is a good point. He then approached people while swinging a sword, which he claimed he had taken with him to use as a support, having lost his walking stick.
Oh, so that's what we're using swords as a walking stick?
That's like saying you got a shotgun because you lost your walking stick. You know what I mean? If we respected the sword as a weapon, then people would go, that's a ridiculous thing to say, sir. You can't use a fucking sword because you don't have a cane. That's no.
Just get a cane. Just get a regular ass stick.
A concerned witness called police and officers found Rollins carrying a sword in the park shortly before 9 p.m. Martina Sherlock, prosecuting, said Rollins had started swinging the sword near a group of people, prompting them to move towards the officers. Rollins and of Abinger Court in Abinger Court in Abinger Road, Portslade, told police he was in fear of being attacked by Ghanaians from London. Okay, that feels a little racist. I don't know what the people in Ghana look like, but why the fuck would he be scared of them and need a sword, but if people just in the park chilling? I don't know. Feels like some, we need to examine this dude's motivations. And he had gone to the park to get fresh air because he felt wobbly from the booze and drugs. He told the police this.
And drugs?
Why would you tell the cops that part? also, I'm probably under the influence of this weapon. Okay.
All right. You're under arrest, sir. You're under arrest.
Okay, buddy. Open the showcase. We don't need Sherlock. He appeared in court wearing a t-shirt with a print of Che Guevara, the Argentinian Marxist, on it, and a pair of jeans. He had 33 previous convictions for 85 offenses, some of which were violent.
Wow.
How was he able to get a sword?
Right.
Why, if it was a gun, they would have been like, why this is also indicted for having a gun? But anyway, Rowlands, who was in receipt of benefits, bought the sword, which was blunt, when he was caught with it, for £80 in Oxfordshire. A lot of repeating locations today. Abingdon Road and Oxfordshire. He said he did not see anyone about in the park, so he decided to begin swinging the sword around. Okay.
I don't believe you.
I didn't see anyone out, so I just started shooting and shit, you know? Just blowing out some steam. He pled guilty to possession of a bladed article in public space. Allison Reeby, defendant, said Rowlands is a vulnerable man with mental health issues, which became prominent when he fell from a cliff 10 years ago. Oh, and that's when he got superpowers as a sword man.
Right.
He told the court her client...
Well, he didn't use his powers for goodness.
Right. Her client suffers from panic attacks and lives in a rented accommodation. That's not really a excuse for this though.
For them 85 charges.
Yeah, mm-hmm. How's that an extenuating circumstance? He's rent and he has panic attacks. So, you know.
Right, and he has the history of a superhero even though we think he's a supervillain.
Sometimes you got to go swing swords in the park, man. You know how it is.
That's what you do.
Miss Reeby and Rowlands said Rowlands had been drinking at his flat. He was feeling extremely anxious because people had been trying to get into his flat. She said he had lost his walking stick that the week before, so decided to use a sword to support himself when he left the house. Miss Reeby said Rowlands had eventually noticed it was very heavy and not suitable to use as a makeshift walking stick. Rowlands claims not to remember what he had said to police after his arrest. This is all bullshit. Mm-hmm. This motherfucker said he was swinging in the park because he was bored and nobody was around. And then they turned into some sob story of like, he didn't have a cane. What was he supposed to do? Your Honor, you have to let him go. He's innocent.
All right, you didn't have a broomstick. I mean, nothing else around you could have used instead?
Magistrate Matthew Irish said he did not believe the custody threshold had been met. And he was told he would not be going to prison. Rowlands wiped a tear from his eyes and said, thank you so much. Oh, yeah.
What?
Leave him on the streets to strike again.
What?
Next time, he'll be in a fucking park full of children, and it is going to be, the dead bodies will be on your hands.
85 charges, and y'all like, nah, he's good.
Magistrate Matthew Irish is the problem with the system, letting these sword offenders back on the streets to strike again.
Agreed.
All right, guys. That's it for today's episode. Mike, Elizabeth, you guys are great.
Yes.
We love your podcast.
We do.
Everyone check out We Just Saw a Movie. It's a great podcast.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be back tomorrow with more stuff, probably, if we feel like it. If not, we'll be back Tuesday. Isn't tomorrow Labor Day?
I don't know.
I feel like we can make an excuse to take the day off. Anyway, guys, we'll be back. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.